Picture a world where costs are down, profits are up, and customers are clamoring at your door. You're listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. Our interviews with business owners, service providers, and area experts can teach you how to create a world of success and profitability. If you're looking for an attorney to assist in your business formation, employment agreements, or other legal business needs, contact Jordan Law at 407-906-5529. You can also reach us on the web at jordanlawfl.com. Jordan Law, we protect you and your business.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jordan Ostroff of Jordan Law, and this is Let's Get Up to Business, our podcast turn Facebook live show. As you know, the first episode of every month, Ed DiAguilera, our VP of Business Development and Community Engagement, joins us as we go over what to expect from the month, specifically involving some sort of a networking twist. We will also go into the other shows that we have going on. But before that, I want to go ahead and pitch our monthly subscription-based service, our business protection plan. The biggest thing that we've seen from a lot of our clients going through COVID is the fact that what business needs has changed with the day, the week, the month, and all the other situations. So recently we did a couple presentations about employer and employee rights when it comes to coming back to work after COVID and things like that. So as part of that, to be a resource to business owners, we put together this monthly plan that allows you some specific connection with the attorney, as well as us knowing what's going on. And I lost my network connection. I don't know if you guys can still hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay. I don't know. It doesn't show that I'm going. Well, it still works though. So I don't know why we're not connected to the internet.
You gotta love technology, man.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll make it work. So I guess, Ed, take us over from there. My video is still working.
And you got to love live media. That's what makes it special and perfect. I think we may have a little technical difficulty with Jordan here is what I'm seeing. But I will go ahead and start a little bit. And I want to talk about a little bit about some of the upcoming podcasts that we have going on. We have an array of really amazing guests. So that's why I want to make sure that I touch base on them. Coming up next week, we have, I got Jordan back on. Look, perfect timing, sir. We're talking a little bit about podcasts here.
Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. So my computer is hardwired into the internet, so it shouldn't have a connection issue, but whatever, for whatever reason.
You know, after March, I think everyone's very familiar with technology and the glitches that can occur with this type of medium. So I think it's all good. But anyway, Jordan, just talking a little bit.
Ed?
Yes, there you are. Can you hear me?
Yeah. So I think that one I think was on your end because Mark still looks fine.
There you go. It could have been. No, just talking a little bit about some of the upcoming guests that we have on our podcast coming up next week. We have State Representative Renee Plasencia, and he's going to be talking about the state of Florida, its economic prospects, what legislation that he wants to put in. After that, we have a really special guest as well. She is currently a state representative, but it's Amy Mercado. And the interesting thing about this is Amy Mercado is, for all intents and purposes, going to be our next Orange County property appraiser. She's going to come and join us. She's going to talk a little bit about the future of Orange County. Technically, she's a state representative, and we can't quite call her Orange County property appraiser elect because she has an election in November, but she has a write-in. And if anybody knows a little bit of history in the state of Florida, in the history of the state of Florida, a write-in has never won. So I think that she's going to be our next property appraiser, and we're going to talk a little bit about the prospects of what she's going to do in the office and what she thinks that is going to be needed here in Orange County.
And just to be clear,
we also have a write-in. Go ahead. So,
in essence, what that means is there is a line on the ballot and a more than 50% number of people would have to write the right, same, correct name of somebody else on that line.
Correct.
Hence why it's never happened.
And it just, it's so challenging. And, you know, here's a little factoid. The person who's actually is the write-in isn't even from the area. So he doesn't even have that name recognition to be able to do that. So I think it's pretty comfortable to say that Representative Mercado is going to be our next Orange County property appraiser. So it's exciting that we get to have her talk a little bit about what her plans are coming up here. After her, we have Lee Steinhauer. He's the director of
government. Where are we going? So before that, though, for those of you that don't know, so in Florida, we have open primaries unless they are closed. So if there is an independent candidate, if there's a write-in candidate, if there's a candidate from another party, then it closes the primaries. So by there being a write-in candidate, that would have been designed to prevent independents and Republicans from voting between Amy and the two other options for the Democratic primary for whatever reason.
Exactly. It closed the primary down where it was just registered Democrats could vote for that particular. So if you're Republican, independent, or any other political party, you were not able to vote for that particular position. But now you do actually get an opportunity because of the write-in to vote for, at least symbolically, for either the write-in or Representative Mercado. And as we progress, Lee Steinhauer, as I was saying, he's with the Greater Orlando Building Association. And we're going to get a nice little, you know, status report. What's going on with the building? We see these construction things. What does that mean? You know, we're in a really odd economic time. I'm sure people have seen on the news massive layoffs are going on with the big parks here in the area. But the building seems to be surviving. So we're going to get like an economic forecast from him. I'm going to talk a little bit about those kind of what's going on here in Central Florida, not just Orange County, but all in Central Florida. And our last guest for the month is CEO of Tez Mobile Solutions. And what she is, her name is Anjali Vaya. And Anjali Vaya is going to be talking. She's a marketing expert, knows how to do that digital marketing aspect of things, really innovative, has come up with some really great ideas. And so I'm excited to talk to her a little bit about what she sees of this new marketing. Because, Jordan, you know, marketing changes, especially the digital side, changes almost, I feel like, on a daily basis. So we have some of these, you know, cool things that are coming up, but I feel like literally every day something's new, something social media is happening. So we're going to get a little bit of an insight from her on what to expect and what new things we can see on the horizon here.
All right. And do you have the dates and times for those?
I have, yes. Let's see. State Representative Plasencia is Tuesday on October 5th. Then we have Lee on October 15th.
October 5th is Monday, not Tuesday.
15th, I should say. 15th on for Lee. On Monday, is it? Yeah. Look, the days are all blending. That's what all happens. And then October 22nd is Anjali Vaya.
Okay.
And obviously, guys, follow us on Facebook as well, because a lot of the flyers have been made or be put onto all those things. So we have some really exciting guests. I'm really excited. And also don't want to forget about October 12th. So that we also have Blair joining us with it from the firm. He's always comes in and he's also in there. Don't want to forget about him as well.
Yeah, October 12th, Blair will be talking about legal updates. So if you're here on our show for the legal side, that's the one with Blair. If you're here on the show for the networking side, that's the one with Ed and I. And if you're here for to learn from local politicians, other business owners, and business services providers, that would be the rest of your shows. All right.
Exactly.
So anything else before we get into talking about the marketing update and really how to market during COVID?
One quick thing, October 9th, we are hosting the Bloodmobile. Come join us. We'd love to have you guys come and join. Not only will you be able to give the gift of life through donating blood, but you also get an antibody test for COVID as well. Perfectly free, gang. And they're going to be at our office right off of Delaney Avenue. We'd love to have you guys join us. And also the added bonus is One Blood's giving out a pair of free socks for every single donation. So, you know, it's a win-win, man.
Hey, that's why I donate blood, for the free swag.
The swag. And I think you get a cookie and a soft drink too, so hey.
As a Red Sox fan, though, donating blood for a sock is like really a wonderful thing for us. As per the bloody sock game, Kurt Schilling, who then, you know, said a bunch of things out of his mouth over the last couple of years that have really ruined that moment for me. But at that time, it was quite a thing. So, all right, let's talk about marketing during COVID.
You know, the reality is that everything that you were doing pre-March has not changed. You have to be creative and you have to be aggressive. That's the one thing that we really have kind of discovered. Yeah, everyone's going virtual, but it makes it hard to really meet new folks and to grow your contacts. Now, it's still possible out there. It's just you have to be a little bit more creative and you have to be a lot more aggressive. And one thing that I've learned is you need to rely on your contacts to grow your contacts in general and to network even more effectively, and especially during this particular time.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I found that for a lot of people, it's easier to connect digitally than it ever was to connect before that, because you're not driving around, you're not worried about, you know, schedules having to line up with so many other things going on. So there's been, you know, the ability to build a relationship with people, obviously, it for the most part has to be through Google Meet, Zoom, BlueJeans, Hangouts, whatever you're using. It's been easier for a lot of it. One, not only being able to have more time to do it because you remove the driving aspect of it, but being able to make schedules line up a little bit easier while everybody's a little slow.
And at least that's the positive, is that you're able to, like, literally right before this podcast, I was at a networking meeting. So yeah, you're right. We take that driving part, but it also creates some passiveness. And that's where that's the trap that you can fall in, because, you know what, I said hey to them and I'm done. No, you need to do that follow up and you need to create those opportunities, because those opportunities aren't just available. You know, back in the day, Jordan, how many events would we go to, you know, on a given, it would be all over the place and you're shaking the hand, you're getting the card, and you would do the traditional follow-up. Now it's really easy. You see somebody on the screen, you talk to them for a quick second and you're done. And that's not the case. You need to be more aggressive. You need to call, you need to, because you can't do the traditional stuff that you used to be able to do. So you have to be creative and you have to make sure that follow-up does occur. Creating new relationships in a virtual world is a little bit more challenging. And on a side note, I'm happy that, I was just going to say, I commend folks that are going through the dating world through this virtual thing, because I don't know how they're able to accomplish that. It's challenging, man.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've found is, you know, obviously, like, you'll go to some of these large networking events, but you have that like 10, 15 minute buffer at the beginning or at the end to have a much smaller conversation. The issue I think that we've found with the Zoom events or the Meet events, whatever it is, you don't have those. I mean, you do have breakout rooms in Zoom, but they have to be intentionally done. You know, I'm waiting for them to design a system where you can like walk around with a joystick virtually and have smaller, quieter conversations inside one large space. But until we do that, you lose a lot of those, you know, two or three people conversations because everybody's in the same chat room.
I don't know about you, but for me, that's the key. That's where you really get to know someone. That's when you actually develop that relationship, where you get almost like a plan of action of when are we going to meet again? How can I contact you again? It's not the old fashioned way of just passing a card and calling it a day. That's where you actually are developing. You know, I was talking to some folks not so long ago that were very old school, and they had that whole concept of ABC, which is an old style of networking, which is called always be closing. That's not the reality of networking today. You got to develop a relationship. You got to make it last. And you don't want it just for one shot. You want it to that well to continue. And again, the other part also, it's a two-way street. You got to be willing to help, and you got to be willing to participate in that relationship as well.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what's going on now because my entire Google Chrome just shut down without me moving anything. So it's a Monday. It's a technology day.
It's a technology Monday day, I guess.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've seen people do, you know, because obviously like when you're meeting in person, there's that built-in camaraderie of it. Everybody's in the same place. So some of the things that I've seen other organizations do or that we've done is if you're doing that Zoom meet Google Meet, whatever it is, creating a communal experience. And so what I've seen some people do is they've had food scheduled to be delivered to everybody. So you're doing like that, you know, happy hour type thing, but everybody's getting the same food delivered to their houses, or they're doing some sort of to-go plate. I know some people have had like a restaurant come on. I know Zaza's did one for the Hispanic Bar Association where they walk through making a Cuban sandwich. And so everybody's able to pick up from Zaza's, you know, a deconstructed Cuban, put it together, stick it in the oven for whatnot, and then everybody talked, and then it, you know, came back out. And so that's something that I think people lose sight of. You know, it's nice to just have that quick conversation, but you'll build a better connection by having some sort of shared experience through that meeting.
And it's interesting you say that, because the most successful virtual meetings I've had have been when they've had that type of programming. There was one that did it brought in a bartender, was doing old fashions. Wasn't necessarily business, but I saw more business dealings happening at that particular thing because the programming wasn't so heavy. It was a little bit lighter. It was something that involved conversation. And that's the key right there, is to get to talk to folks. Business is going to happen, but you need to start somewhere. And something like, I mean, they're big giant icebreakers is really what it is. When you bring in Zaza's to make a deconstructed Cuban, you know what? I'm interested. I want to see. That's going to lead to further conversations. And that's why that whole ABC style is just doesn't work anymore. It's actually developing those relationships.
Yeah, I was listening to, I want to say it was Stacey Brown Randall's podcast. She's been on our show a little while ago. Phenomenal one, all dedicated around, you know, referrals. And so she goes through, you know, using a CRM, making a marketing plan, a prospecting plan, et cetera. And that's exactly what she talked about. Like so much of what we're taught from referrals is wrong, because of that, you know, 80s antiquated style of the always be closing, as opposed to the more normal push, which is one, changing networking into relationship building, but two, really focusing on, you know, that relationship between people, that's where it's going to come. And by making the connection first and making the business second, you'll do a lot better than the old school way of making the business first and having the business actually never come.
Now, Jordan, one of the questions that I keep on getting asked, and I would love to hear your opinion on it, is how do you deal with the maze that some people want to meet and some don't? How do you actually personally deal with something like that?
For people who don't want to meet?
Yeah, who don't, or those that do, how do you do this maze? And I think the reason that I'm asking is because there's, you know, traditionally, when you meet, you shake someone's hand, you look right in the eyes. Obviously, this is kind of new methodology that we're meeting through this virtual method. So how do we actually do this maze as we go through? I keep on getting asked those questions on, is it okay to even ask if someone wants to meet?
So just to clarify, are you talking about people that want to meet in person versus meeting digitally, or meeting digitally versus nothing?
No, digital or virtual or in person. Yeah. Do they want to meet? But what's the protocol? What's the right thing to say to folks?
I have no idea. You know, I The thing for me is, like, obviously, look, you have to decide what you're comfortable with. And I wouldn't, if you are at high risk or if you're in an area where it's high risk, I mean, Orange County was that for a very long time. You know, I wasn't going to put myself in that situation now because, you know, as the numbers go down, as we have a better understanding of all this, you know, you have to pick and choose what you're comfortable with. So you may be okay eating at a restaurant outside with just two people as opposed to, you know, going inside to a movie theater. That's up to you. So one, I would say make your decision first. And anybody who gets pissed off that you don't want to meet in person is probably not going to be a great referral source for you because they can't even show you the grace and decency right there. My biggest thing has been when you do meet in person for that lunch and it's some like, and it's people that I've known for 10 years who, you know, we see each other relatively consistently. We haven't seen each other for 7 months. We finally get back together. I'm always like, all right, so like handshake, fist bump, elbow, like awkward wave, like what do you want? I don't know. And so, you know, nobody seems to know, but we kind of make a joke of it and use it as, you know, I go back to the line I used before, that shared experience that we're all kind of figuring out what's going on here. It'll be interesting to see, you know, I think we're going to get into over the next couple months as they lift more of the mask restrictions. I think you're going to see more people being upset with people who are wearing a mask or aren't wearing a mask, and you're going to see some divides over there. But I go back to, you know, in terms of meeting in general, decide what you're willing to do safety wise. And then I'm still of the belief that, you know, like I wear a mask everywhere I go as often as I can do it because I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit of my own personal happiness to on the off chance that it's helped save somebody's life.
Weather and Jordan, the weather is beginning to cool down a little bit. The masks aren't so oppressive as they were just a couple weeks ago. So I'm right there with you. Wear your mask. It's okay. I know exactly what you mean. You don't know whether to fist bump, elbow bump, you don't. It's that awkward feeling, but you're right. You make a little joke of it and you kind of move on.
Yeah. I mean, if this happens long-term, there's definitely going to be a company that puts together like the personal air conditioning system for Floridians and masks where it covers everything and you're like breathing your own recycled air that they can cool. But hopefully we won't get to the point where that's a necessity and we'll resolve this situation pretty soon, but who knows.
From your lips to God's ears, I'm hoping that we get through this storm and that we are able to push on the other side. That's the whole goal here. I miss some of those events, man. I want to have that some of that traditional networking where you can actually see someone, look them in the eyes, say hello, talk about life, family, job, and professionalism, and have that type of feeling again. I miss it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, you talk to people, and obviously, like, in the restaurant industry and bars, like you could not operate or you had to sell, you know, hot pockets out of an oven or a microwave for a while. But it's been really interesting to talk to a lot of our clients who are business owners in the restaurant industry, who, you know, the locking down restaurants actually made it easier for them to go with Uber Eats or DoorDash or make their own delivery service. Or you talk to bar owners who are like, well, now people are just going and sitting and nursing a drink just to get out of the house. And, you know, we're making so much less money than we were beforehand because we're limited and people can't just wander around the bar. And, you know, whatever the rules are, whatever the rules will be, it's just, you know, it's interesting to see how businesses have adapted or how businesses have prevented from being adapted. So from the marketing and the networking standpoint, I tell people, like, look, thank God this happened in 2020, because in, you know, 1990, you would have had a much harder time seeing people digitally or remotely or whatever you want to call it.
You know, I never thought of it. I didn't think of it that the way you just said it, but if it would have happened in 1990, this would not have been able to happen. We would not have been able to actually still talk to our clients, to the community. That just would not have been able to happen, at least not in this particular style.
Yeah. All right. So as we get to the last 5 minutes, any other questions that you've heard from people that you want to make sure we get an answer and some guidance out on?
You know, the big thing is just how do you do it? You know, and I think we really went through a lot of those things of how are you guys going to be able to still network, to still create your contacts? And like I said, use your contacts that you already have. Ask them. Don't be shy. You know, ask them, do you know anybody? If you're looking for contractors, you're looking for doctors, if you're looking for fellow attorneys, ask your current contacts that you have. And I think that's the number one question that I continuously get as I go through the community is, how are we still able to do this whole networking
marketing thing, and how can you generate leads? How can you create referral sources? And I think we really hit upon a lot of it is be creative, man, and don't be shy to ask questions and use your personal contacts.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, with, again, I go back to the ease of booking things virtually, you know, so maybe it's a situation where you and, you know, your best friend each pick somebody that they don't think the other person knows, and you do a 4-person Zoom conference or a Google Meet or something along those lines. You know, it may make it even easier to help grow your contacts with things like that because of the ease of getting everybody lined up at the same time, as opposed to really being limited to, you know, like a happy hour or something along those lines to get more than, you know, 2 or 3 people together.
Great ideas, man. I like it. We're going to get through this, gang. We all will. We just keep creative and still keep on pushing forward.
All right. And so to end this on what I hope is a positive note, let's talk about taxes for the next 2 minutes. And by that, I just mean we put together a free resource. So it's a series of emails that go out about a week or so before a bunch of the different taxes are due. So reemployment taxes, quarter 1, 2, 3, 4, city licensing, county licensing, et cetera. So we built this from the concept of Orange County business owners. But if you go ahead, Mark's going to drop the link here. You can go in and sign up for this. You'll get, I want to say it's 15 emails over the course of the year, Mark, more or less. And guess what? It is totally 100% absolutely free. This is something that I put together, one, because I suck at remembering all of this, but two, because we heard from a lot of people that they have similar things. So now, rather than having to sign up for 27 different government things or hope that you have it recurring every year on your calendar, you can sign up for our free emails. It'll go out, like I said, it's about 15 emails that'll go through. The most recent one we had dropped 2 or 3 days ago to talk about city and county taxes being due at the end of September. So we've got those there for you all as a free resource, hopefully to be helpful. So it's one less thing you have to worry about. You can just see the email and then go ahead and pay it from there. You'll still have to pay the taxes, just to be clear. You just won't have to worry about when they are due as much.
We can only help so much.
Right. All right. Well, so with that, thank you all so much. We'll be back on Monday with Renee Plasencia, who's going to talk to us about some of the updates from politics and laws and what's going on there on a local level.
Thank you. That'll be excellent. It's a little bit of education as a teacher as well, so it'll be good.
And to end it on the one other thing that's different between Zoom meetings and my personal life, I don't recall ever waving to another adult goodbye in like years. I do it with my 2.5-year-old, but while it's virtual, it just feels right. So have a great day. Goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast and would consider sharing the show. We would also love an honest 5-star review through iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcatcher you use. If you are interested in being a guest of the podcast, please contact producer Mark through email at mark@jordanlawfl.com. Use the subject line podcast guest in your email. Thank you. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.